Welcome to the Christian Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, you can do so at the link below. Thank you for joining us, and we hope the message today will bless you.
How many of y'all know that we're still living in the time of good stuff? Amen. You know, I tell you, I'm looking for good stuff. Amen. I'm looking for things to happen. I'm looking for God to use somebody and God to stir somebody. You know, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the fivefold ministry. We talked about the apostle. We talked about the prophet last week. And you know that God still is moving in the evangelist. I mean, you believe there's still a such thing as an evangelist. Amen. Give God glory. There's still a such thing. You know, when I was raised traditionally, that's about the only thing I knew about was an evangelist and a pastor and a Sunday school teacher. I didn't know anything about much of the other. I didn't know about the apostle. I didn't know about the prophet. I didn't know anything about them. And most deacons were demons. I mean, deacons, you know, were hard to get along with. Amen. You know, I tell the story of the traditional deacon, you know, and you've heard it. Maybe I'll tell it one more time after this. And the preacher was dying on his deathbed, and he called his four favorite deacons to him. And he told me, he said, "It looks like the Lord's going to take me on." He said, "I want y'all to lower me down. I want y'all to lower me down into the grave when I die. I want you to look." And a couple of them started weeping. The one that gave him the most trouble and was always against whatever he wanted. When the pastor wanted to put a chandelier, he said, "It doesn't need a musical instrument. We need lights in this place." Thank you. The same one that would fight him, and he cried and he said, "I just don't know why you would choose me. Of all the stuff we've had between you, choose me." And the pastor looked at the four of them. He said, "I want you four to just let me down one more time." So let's try to be a help to the kingdom of God. Let's try to be a help to the ministry. Amen. And then we begin to talk about the ministries, talk about how they were different. We talked about how that, you know, the prophet or the evangelist or the pastor or your teacher or whoever it is. We talked about last week how that you get a little taste of the pipe. No matter what they are, you get a little bit of taste of it. You know, I tried drinking Pepsi at one time, and I drink Pepsi, and I told my wife it tastes like something out of a wooden bucket. A lot of people said, "You've been drinking out of a wooden bucket?" Well, you do if you drink Pepsi. It tastes like a wooden bucket or a taste anyway. But you get a little taste of the vessel, and sometimes we get that. And you know, the apostle, you know, he wants to go out into the world and gets frustrated because others don't understand going into the world. You know, the prophet, he gets disturbed because he can't see, people can't see just what's plainly in front of him, that the prophet said this is wrong, or the prophet said that this needs to be done, or the prophet says that God spoke this, or something has been spoken into the body of Christ. And sometimes people get a little bit behind the curve, you know, but the prophet, you know, he can see that. Now, the evangelist is a special person. We'll talk about them a little bit. But how many know every one of y'all are called to be evangelists? Y'all called to go into the world. Y'all called to get something done. Amen. But you know, evangelists sometimes thinks the whole world's on their way to hell. Now, the world's got people going to hell in it, but not everybody in the world's going to hell. Now. And sometimes he gets upset thinking most of the church is going to hell. You know, well, they get fired up. That's where they are. That's where they think, you know. And then pastors, as we talked last week, sometimes pastors just kind of get narrow-sighted, and they'll believe, like a tradition I was raised up, that it's just a job of the pastor and you don't really need these other ministries. The evangelist is somebody that we put in the field, that we would call him a missionary, and we put him in the field. And the teacher is somebody, again, would be in the Sunday school room. You know, it really wasn't them. And the pastor gets stuck not thinking that he needs these gifts. But how many of y'all believe we need the gifts of the ministries? Amen. We really do. And then we know the teacher's the ABC guy, XYZ, and they think it should be like this, plain and simple. And they don't understand when some people, like the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor, or not the pastor so much, but the evangelist or the teacher or the prophet kind of get stuck in something. That's their thing. That's what they do. You know, if you talk to a man that puts in windows, most of his conversation is putting in windows. Yeah. You talk to a guy that doesn't do anything but fish, most of his conversation is about fishing. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so it should be, and there need to be. And in Ephesians 4, let's go to Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start in the 10th verse one more time. And so let us attempt to continue in the fivefold ministry. And, you know, in Ephesians 4, and we'll go through 10, start at 10, he said, "And he descended to the same that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things." We know who he is. It's far beyond the known universe that he is gone. He's not just up over here. He's upon the far universe. Don't you serve a God that's on the other end of the known universe and can still hear hear your whispers, still hear your prayers, still know your thoughts. I serve a mighty God, amen. And he, means Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness in Christ. Perfecting, growing up. How many of you know sometimes you need to grow up? You know, if you're young people, if you want to learn, you want to get a car of your own, grow up and get a job. No, I'm just that he says that henceforth we be no more children. Now, he said, no more children doing what? He said, being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men. He didn't even say the devil was doing it. He said men was doing it. He said, the cunning craftiness whereby lies in wait to deceive. Now, the evangelist, if I look in the word evangelist, it means a preacher of the gospel. It means son of teller. It means, when I understand in the Greek what a preacher is, it's one that speaks spiritual truths. It's one that speaks out. And it's in the office, but as I said, the evangelist has a spirit that's moved by God or should be led by the Spirit, rather I say. You know, Timothy was told this. He's watch all things, endure afflictions. He said, do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. In Amplified, it says like this. He said, but you should be clear-headed in every situation. Yeah. Stay calm and cool and steady. I like that translation. Wow. Endure every hardship. And listen, without flinching. Do the work of evangelists and fulfill the duties of your ministry. So let me tell you, an evangelist sometimes gets the opportunity to flinch. Let me tell you, if you're going to be evangelized in this world and move out for Jesus, you're going to have to get to the place that you'll see some things and try to not flinch. Can you say amen? Yeah. But you got to stay calm, you got to stay cool, and you got to stay steady. I seen some people that were wrong, but they were steady. I seen some people didn't know but two things, but they were steady. And he told the evangelist here that it's not always fun, it's not always easy. How many of you know if you're going to work for Christ, it's not always goosebumps and thrills and rainbows and unicorns or whatever. Sometimes it's an attack, you know, and the commission of the evangelist is Jesus. You know, he did this before the book of Acts. Jesus commissioned us to go into the world. How many of y'all believe that? In Matthew 28 and 18, it said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and go you therefore. But why? Because Jesus has all power that was given unto him in heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore, Matthew 28 and 18. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Said, teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. Nothing new, nothing new. Commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. You know, Jesus, whatever Jesus taught, that's what we need to teach. He taught relationship to the Father. He talked about there's no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I'm the door, I'm the truth, I'm the light. These things Jesus was. And he said, and go and down and tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost come on you. And he said, when you get the Holy Ghost, go and teach and preach and go out and make disciples of me. And that's what he said. So, sometimes we wonder why we don't get it done because we don't do it like he did it. And teach whatever he needed. It'd be full of the promise. I mean, you know, it's the promise of the Father that we might have this. You know, the evangelist has the ability to preach Jesus with power and demonstration. You know, you got the wrong evangelist if you got to bail him out of jail for being drunk. You got the wrong evangelist. And if you got the wrong evangelist, if he got caught stealing feathers or whatever it is, But the evangelist has the ability to preach Christ and have a demonstration of him. That's what the church needs, is a demonstration of what God can do in their lives. Amen. And you tell people what God has done for you. Tell people what Jesus is doing. You lift him up and not be ashamed of him no matter where you go. Let me tell you, people that know Jesus want to hear about Jesus. Amen. People that don't know Jesus really are not that enthused about hearing about Jesus. Amen. You know, this office will show the love of Christ. This office of an evangelist will get people delivered and get people healed and get people saved most of all, and they'll have no other agenda or we have the wrong evangelist. Why? Because we see what Jesus said, the things I command you. He said, do it like I did. He said, do it the way you see me do it. I believe it's adequate to do what Jesus did and just do it the way that Jesus did and reach the people that Jesus told us to reach. How many of you know that Jesus had the true anointing upon him to destroy the yoke of the enemy? Come on. And the evangelist, and we as the body of Christ should have this in the same way. And we should have gifts of the Holy Spirit moving. And we shouldn't have wait for goosebumps. And you know, if we're walking where we should, you can find somebody lost and minister to them. And God will give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Somebody listening to me, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will move. Come on. And it won't be me. It'll be thee. It'll be him. That's what I need. Can you say amen? I'm pretty sure it's a good thing. Now, an evangelist, just like you and me, the evangelist has no fixed place, you know, in his ministry. He goes where God sees leads him. He goes into the world. He goes to where God sent him. Now, God sent you into a lion's den is different than sending you into a den of lions. It's a difference. Amen. It's different going into a room of loaded guns pointed at you than going into a room with just guns on the wall. It's just a difference. Amen. But the disciples, you know, that Jesus made, he made them for the idea that for us to go into the world, but go from the world to into Walmart. And all points in between, amen. I find people to witness to at Walmart, I mean, I find them in the parking lot, amen. I come out of there in the midst of COVID, you know, COVID was strong and people was aggravated, amen. I come out, you know, I'm being a good, I did all the good stuff, still got the COVID, still got it. I did all, washed my hands and took my vitamins, said my prayers. I did the Hulk Hogan thing, and I still got it, amen, the COVID. And I come out, and I had my mask on. That woman said, I see you. She said, and that reminds me. She said, I'm going back to get my mask. She's getting mad at me about going to get her mask. Okay, go get your mask. If I had extra, I'd give you the mask. She said, what people need to be is worried about Jesus coming back. They need to worry about Jesus coming instead of having these masks on. I'm like, yeah, glory. She had it, but she was mad about it. But you know, evangelist brings people to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. You know, I heard people talk about Jesus, and I tell you, he fit to kill somebody. Yeah. I heard people talk about God, he had this big stick and a lightning bolt, and he fit to take care of business. I mean, my goodness, I need the one that loves me and forgives me and those things, amen. And you see, the evangelist is not on his own in the world. The evangelist has a fixed place and he's within the church. The evangelist brings people to the church. They don't send them nowhere else. They don't send them to another program. They bring them to the church with the pastor and the teachers and the gifts and the body of Christ can teach and grow them. Well, I win him. He's still on the mountain. God give God glory. He said, he led him to the Lord and he's still on the mountain over there somewhere. Well, you need to get him off the mountain or try and open up a church over there in the mountain. I don't guess, you know. And I'm talking about a Jesus mountain. But you know what Jesus had to say about mountains? Here's what he said. I believe what he said. He said, you hear the mountain? He said, speak to it. Yeah. Yes. He said, it'll move. It'll obey you. It'll go cast into the sea. It'll go get in the sea. Amen. You know, and they get off there and get in works with the Holy Spirit. Get him moving. Can somebody say amen? You know, they must become part of the body of Christ and they must be grounded. I mean, you know that an evangelist got to be grounded in the word of God. Now, let me tell you, there's some people go with zeal. There's some people, when they first get born again, man, they can knock on every door and get excited and go do things. But they got a zeal, but they don't have any leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, when my grandkids got hold of colors and markers, they got excited about it. After a while, they was marking on walls, marking in books. You know, it's a hard curve to teach children. Don't write in books with pencils and pens and don't write in them with color. Then you give them a coloring book. You just told them not to write in books. Then they get the ABCs and you write them and they what? In a book. Who knows? You got to stay home and direct them and teach them. But you know, that's right, sister. While they're young vines, send them the way they are to go. Amen. And they're taught at the table. They're taught at the table of fellowship. Amen. And you know that the evangelist brings them the evangelist needs the church like the church needs the evangelist. Amen. You know, some churches just because they don't roll the way they do, they don't need one. Amen. Or we're not going to do that. Well, let me tell you what, let's do what Jesus said. You know, how many of you know the instructions of Jesus will work today as well as it ever worked? Amen. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Yep. And he said this, one of the things I'm doing, He said, I'm seeking lost people. Yeah. And I'm not only seeking them. He said, they which are lost. That's what, how many of you know he's out to seeking to save? Amen. He's not furthering his program. He's getting people saved. He's furthering the Father's program. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is saying today, yesterday, and forever. Yes. I said forever. So whatever he was doing, that's the way he's doing. I don't need to change what he's doing. What he's doing is the same. Amen. You know, Matthew says this, and he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Where you get the laborers, he's not just talking about evangelists, he's talking about me and you. He's talking about people to go out. And he said in Mark 15:16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Amplified says it this way. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I mean, I know pretty much you find people around creation. Yeah. You know, it's nothing new. You know, you preach the cross and Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. That's not hard. Can you say amen? You know, if we preach that it'll change people's lives. Amen. It'll change where they are. Amen. You know, that Jesus said that as the Son of Man be lifted up, what did he say would happen? That he would draw all men unto him. All men. Now, you know, some may not want to be drawn and keep going and pass by. But 1 Corinthians 1:17 says this, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Somebody said the good news. That's that stuff Jesus said. He said, not with words, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made none effect. He said, it's not a smart man's game. Did you say that? Well, he said, right there, I'll read it again. He said, not with wisdom of words. You know, some people say, you know, I don't know that much about it. Well, you are a candidate. Yeah. Freedom, I say, if you're in love with him and you're born again, you should just speak what he's done to you. You don't need to be a great supernatural evangelist and sent somewhere. You need to be sent right to Walmart, around your house, or to your kids, around close to them that lift Jesus up. And just simple, you don't have to be that smart. Amen. Right. I think one reason, that's why he chose me, because I'm not that smart. You know, me and my wife traveled, and we would travel, and we had them old school maps, you know, that atlas, had that old school atlas. And my wife would turn that atlas around so she could get it straight where she's going. I said, don't turn it around. I said, lefts become rights, and rights become lefts. She'd turn it where it made sense to her and made none to me. And with dyslexia, I'm telling you, we're fighting by the time we're 6 hours on the road. But now we got that GPS business that turn right. Yeah. Half a mile turn. And it's not always right. It's took me down the wrong way before, amen. But to get me over across state lines is pretty good, you know. You know that the gospel is this, that it, working with the cross and the cross alone and nothing new. You know, the spirit being spirit led and what the word, you know, if we'll be word fed and spirit led, and do what he said. We can't fail as evangelists. We can't fail. You know, the word of God is, it works by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work by something different, anything new. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit will never do anything. Oh, I was country for you then, but I'm back. The Holy Spirit will never do anything that the word of God's not about. The word of God will not do anything that the Holy Spirit is not about. You know what Jesus said? He told them, he said, how long you been with me? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father's one. He said, I only say what he says. He didn't need a new gig. He needed what the Father said. Amen. You know, the gospel of Jesus, how many of y'all know that we're accused, and sometimes it's true, that we speak and teach churchanese. Churchanese. We say it this way and look at this way, and if it don't do that way, we wonder it's not working. Let me tell you what we do. We need to speak the word and what Jesus said and be led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? We need to preach the gospel, teach the gospel. We need to preach that Jesus lived a sinless life, gave his life as a price paid for our sin, that he rose from the dead the third day, and that he ascended, and he sent his disciples to wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we would go into the world and teach all men. Amen. The work of the cross is the only true influence that's going to do anything in the world. And I use that word influence because how many of you know that the cross is what's going to change us? Amen. the ugly thing that it is. You know, I've seen people, and I've seen people get stuck on the cross. I've seen people, that's all they talk about, the cross. But let me tell you, the cross leads us to the Word, for the Holy Spirit will come. And Jesus said, when he that which is perfect is come, that he'll lead you into all truth. He said he'll bring into remembrance what I said. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you into Dianetics. He said, I'm going to bring you into truth. I heard Jesus, that ought to sound familiar. I heard that, amen. You know, when you get to that place to know what the gospel says, and you know that the kingdom of God will never come about by external influence. I said the kingdom of God will never come about by external influence. It will only come about with internal influence. The work of the Spirit and the very blood of the cross, that's what's going to change people's lives. You know that when you take the full gospel, somebody said the full gospel. Now, you know, I've seen churches, they call them full gospels, but they was full of something, but it wasn't the gospel. If you didn't look like them, they didn't want you. Well, we're going on, that's nothing. Let me get my note. If it don't look like them. You know that nothing new in the gospel of Christ. The promise of the Father is manifest in the book of Acts, and we went forward from there. You know, the giving of the birth of the church of grace. How many of you believe the church of grace age? We live in the grace age. I said, we live in the grace age. Jesus, that is a funny thing, that you know that we are not sent to a kingdom of darkness. We are sent not to the gates of hell. Though some teach, and I'm not here to grind an axe, but I'm telling you, those things are controlled by Satan. The Bible says that we should walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, how many of you know walking in the light is different? You know that the kingdom light is controlled by the gospel and nothing else. That's right. Jesus is Lord. He's the king. Yeah. Men are not. Come somebody say amen. Amen. I said he is Lord. He is King of Kings. I had some people tell me, he said, my pastor said, what does the Bible say? I understand you got a pastor, but what does the Bible say? Yeah. Come on. They say the word of God will always outweigh what many any and all say. Were they pastors, prophets, pastors, evangelists? That the word of God will outweigh. It's not my feeling. When you know, that be alarmed when somebody says, well, I kind of see it this way. No, what? Be alarmed. Be alarmed. Get you a big bell and ring it. He don't know where to go from here. She don't know where to go from here. Be alarmed. But the cross and the blood and the redemption work of Jesus and him, what he leads us and led by the Spirit of God. And let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth, not some, but all. Amen. The kingdom of light is the gospel of Jesus. It empowers us to live by grace and the righteousness that's paid for by Jesus. How many of you know Jesus paid for your righteousness? Amen. I said, how you need to know Jesus? Now listen to me. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. You know that in Luke 6 and 43 through 45, Luke 6, 43 through 45, Jesus speaks of good tree and the bad tree. He speaks of the fruit and the bad fruit thereof. And he says in Luke 6, 43, he said, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit. He said, neither doeth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if it's corrupt, it can't bring forth nothing. I know that's not good English. But I don't think they got me down here teaching English. Anyway. Sometimes I'll say something. I look at Brother Mike, he just grins. He don't say nothing. He don't straighten me up. He just grins. Said, that boy knows that don't pronounce like that. But look at it. For every tree is known by his own fruit. Isn't that good? Amen. For of thorns men doeth not gather figs, nor out of bramble bushes they gather grapes. For a good man out of the treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Yeah. And an evil man, he can't help himself. He's stuck where he's at. And as my little brother used to say, he's stuck like Chuck. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. See, if you got word influence, you're going to speak. You got Jesus influence, you're going to speak. You got some other influence, you're going to speak. I mean, you know, we need to say what Jesus said. He said, get the Holy Ghost. He said, and I'll make you remember what I told you. Had a guy, he's on the stand, and they was trying to get the truth out of him. You know, they're trying to get the truth out of him, and the judge does swore him in. And you know, they said, so help me God, where I went with the court at, which is strange because they don't do that everywhere. Said, so help me God, amen. And he asked him, and he stomped around. He got ready to say, and he looked at him. He said, I want to remind you that you under oath. Yeah. I want to remind you when you tell the gospel, you under oath. I want you to tell the gospel that Jesus said. Jesus said, those things that I said, I'll bring. He said, whatsoever. He said, when you go into the world, teach that which I said.
Yeah.
What are we going on?
Amen.
Now, I believe this. You know, how many of y'all believe Jesus knows what he's talking about?
Amen.
What he's actually saying is that a good tree can't influence a bad tree. And he's saying, you know, you can plant a tree, a good fruit tree. You can take a banana tree. I guess you better have a wet place, but you can take a good apple tree and plant it in the midst of a forest, and there'll be no other tree brings apples but that tree. You can't do nothing but itself. You can get around, rub up on it, do what you want to. It can blow pollen on it. It can do that. It can show the finest apples.
Come on.
When I think about the apples, I think about the Wizard of Oz. Throwing them apples. He's throwing them apples out. I was scared to death of that flying monkey. I was scared to death of them and that witch riding that bicycle. I was scared to death of that. But you know, when you plant that tree in the forest or in the world or wherever it is, you know, a tree can't make another tree good and a tree can't make another tree bad. No more than a person's influence can make somebody else, a person, bad or good. Now, you know what you got to do. If you're backsliding because of what somebody said, you need to change friends.
Come on.
But it won't taint the Jesus in you.
Yeah.
You know that Jesus talked about, except a man be born of the water and being born of the Spirit, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, that which is flesh is born of the flesh, that which is the Spirit is born of the flesh of the Spirit. And he said, marvel not, I tell you that. He said that if you're going to be born again, it's by the water. Come on. And it's by the Spirit. You know, the washing of the water by the word regeneration. Amen. It's the word of God thing. You know, have you ever seen, let me tell you this. This is why I say that it takes, now never lose place. I don't think that, let me tell you what. Some people will say, you know, they do some stuff that they are bad seen on a Christian. Yeah, well, after a while, we just need a good Christian to get around them and they'll forget about that. You get somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moving their life and put the word on them and they'll forget about the pretenders. Why? Because his word's eternal. The lie is but a moment, but the truth established forever.
Amen.
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 You know that I don't believe that you can influence somebody. That takes the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to influence people. You can do anything you want. It won't work. Why do you believe that, Brother Jerry? Well, let me tell you, how many of you got that friend? Meet that person. He's over at your neighbor's house. He got that big cigar in his mouth. Well, maybe he don't have a cigar in his mouth. And he gets to talking and he curses. Oh, I'm sorry. Said, I didn't mean to cuss. Then he throw another D-A-M down. And after a while, he said, oh, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to cuss. But after a while, the more you there, he forgets about that, and he just cusses right on. You know why? Because the good tree hadn't influenced that bad tree. What are we going over here? Don't look at me like that. You know, but really the opposite is true with the gospel. The gospel says this. The gospel said, be not deceived. The evil communications corrupt good morals.
Yep.
And he said it the other way. He said, that'll get you. You know, our job is not to get them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to get them. It's him to fill our mouth. You see, get there, and the men of the old, he got there and said, what I say? You know what he told him? Jesus told the apostles, he said, I'll fill your mouth.
Come on.
But I'll tell you what to say. Let me tell you, say what he said, you'll never. Light has no fellowship of darkness. It'll flee every time. If you don't believe me, tonight when you get home, tonight when it gets midnight, get you a shoebox and go out and fill it full of light. And put the light, just close that box up. And I guess one of the brightest places in my house is over the kitchen stove. And open that box up and see what happened to your darkness. It can't stay with darkness. Darkness can't stay with light. It'll flee every time. You know, you can, you know, you, as I told you one time, you know, you can buy a flashlight, but you can't buy a dark. I said, you can buy a flashlight, but you can't buy a dark. Have no fellowship with that. He can't do that. A darkness can't shine in the light. And, you know, and darkness will flee. It'll get gone. Can you say amen? Good sense tells me. We got to go with the Holy Spirit. We got to go with the Word of God. We got to go and led by Him. Nothing new, not the indoctrination of men, not the thing what other people said, not no little game plan, not some AA program. And I thank God for AA. And some people, that's the way you need to stay in there and do that. You miss what I said. But I'm telling you, my higher power is Jesus. He delivered me from drugs, alcohol. He's the one that delivered me from illicit sex. He's the one that delivered me. The King of Light is the one that delivered me. Now, it makes no sense to me. How many of you believe that? Now, we're talking about without the influence of the Holy Spirit, without the influence of the Word of God, without being led by Him, that there's no way that any one of you can take a glass of clean water and go out in that ditch and get you a glass of muddy water and mix the two and have something that's palatable. It just won't work. That water cannot influence that dark water. But you know, if you go through it with wisdom, and let's call it a filter. Let's say that the Holy Ghost has cleansing power and the Word has cleansing power. And you just put it in there. You know what it'll do? It'll clean that water up into us. But it takes an external force. Not the other water. It takes an external force. Can somebody say amen? You know what it'd do? It'd only dilute and make the water more dangerous. How many of the Bible said, be ye not unevenly yoked with unbelievers? Get in your church and stay in your church. Stay with your believers. You know that. But how many of you believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever?
Yes.
Come on, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God give God glory because He don't change. I'm glad I don't get a bulletin. I thank God I don't have a redacted Bible every week or a new inform. See, J4. Take off line 2, move up line 3, call line 3-2. I'm telling you, I'm just not that smart for that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just going to go with him. But okay, so what do we do? Say, Brother Jerry, then who we sent to? How we sent? Well, first of all, Jesus said, go into the world. He said, and teach the things that I told you. He said, go and wait. He said, and go to Jerusalem. He said, and wait till the promise of the Father come. That's to be the Holy Spirit. Now, either be filled with the Holy Spirit or you need to be impressed by the Holy Spirit. You need to be under the, you know, I got into that with people. I'm not going to argue that. And the guy told me, he said, well, I believe when you're born again, you get the Spirit. I said, yeah, you're born into the Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ for sure. But there's a power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost baptizing in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. It's not, come on. I mean, you know, speaking in other tongues is not for the believer. It's for the unbeliever.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. I'm going back. But so that brings me to the place, and I won't be too terribly long, but I guess I'm long. Whom did Jesus evangelize? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, him being the same, you know who he evangelized? Tax collector,
yeah.
An oppressor to the people.
Yeah.
But at no time did Jesus tell him to change the taxes. At no time did he ever tell him to nullify the taxes in Galilee. Come on. You know who else he did? Jesus evangelized prostitutes, sinners, a woman at the well that had 5 failed marriages that Jesus needs go through Samaria. So where's he at? He said, I got to be there. And you know, she's probably not a choice for a lot of people in church movements. She's probably not, I wouldn't think she had very much influence. Said, what happened? Well, thank you for asking. Remember when the woman of the well went and the woman went down and the woman went there and she said, and Jesus ministered to her and she said, I perceive thou art a prophet, you understand? Read it at the well. And when he got there a little bit further, she went and told him, said, come see him who told me everything. And they said that the men of that city and them came out and said that they didn't want to hear from her, they wanted to hear from him. She had enough to get them there, but she didn't have the influence to cause them to believe because she weren't the spirit of the word.
Come on.
Are we moving? You know that remember the illustration of the supper. Remember when Jesus called them and they couldn't get enough people to come? And the master of the house, he told him to do what? He said, go into the streets, the lanes, and the highways and bring hither the poor and the maimed / disabled and the halted and the blind and go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house be full. Now, those are not popular people. I can't see how any of them can help you. Now, he said, whatsoever I taught you, whatsoever I commanded you to do, he's telling us to go by his example.
Yeah.
You know what? He dealt with prostitutes. He dealt with a tax collector that looked like he was an enemy to where we are.
Come on.
He sought out unlearned fishermen. Well, they really need a degree. You know, we need them to go to a seminary before we can. Some people call it cemetery. Jesus evangelized the outcast. He used this as a model to build the church. You know, it's not all that's out there in the big deals. It's the little deals that Jesus was after. You know, that when he told them to go, he didn't tell them to go out there and get the judge. He didn't tell them to go out there and get the sheriff. He didn't tell them, come on. He told them to go out there and get people that I don't know if we can really understand it unless we put this and insert this. Jesus remembered that he told the guy that had asked forgiveness and he went to him and he owed so much. He said, forgive me. He said, let me beg off what I owe you. And he forgave him. And he went and found the guy that owed a pence, a tenth, a 1% of what he owed and put his hand to his neck and said, you'll pay me.
So
you see, much forgiven, it should be much love. You see, how many know that people that Jesus worked with and those that are broken and outcast and those that are at the outsides of the society, those ones right there are the places, you know. What the person I found that Jesus helped that had the highest position in his ministry was the guy on the cross. He said this day, he said he's done nothing wrong, he said. He said, thus justly. He said, but remember me when thou enter into thy glory. Remember me. He said, this day shall thou be with me.
Hallelujah.
In paradise. A thief. You know, our patriarchs were thieves and murderers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moses murdered and stuck him in the sand, hope nobody find out. I know those people, you know, they're not the best people. What's this one Jesus is after? Y'all kind of quiet. You know, David, you know, he was a murderer and took a man's wife. And I want you to know who's going to be the king sitting on the throne in the millennium is going to be King David. According to the scripture. Now, somebody said, I just don't know, just don't believe. See, you don't know. See, you don't believe because that's not the way you would do it. I'm going to do it the way he'd do it, putting remembrance with him. You know, and Jesus avenged the outcast. And he showed this to be a model to build the church. It's those that are in need of him. This is who we should be after. You know, and the highest place was a man, a thief. You know, we find not a lot of great influences from those people that Jesus had.
Come on.
Not for the world. You know, Jesus operated outside the parameters of culture. Now, what we ought to do, we call it Oak Park where we live. That's where all the money people live. We don't need to go down there to the projects. That's where I was raised. Don't go down to the ghetto. Said, we need to go over to that new subdivision. They got $170,000 homes in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's who we need to evangelize. Well, not true. You know, Jesus, he gave up of that they were the outcasts. Jesus were those that were in need. Jesus said the prostitutes, the harlots, those that others wouldn't come. And he said, go into the highways and get the lame and the blind and the halted. Those that are spiritually halted, those are spiritually blind, those that had things wrong with them, those people that will receive you. They look like something happened to you and that there's opportunity for something to happen to them.
Amen. Come on.
Oh. Amen. You know, he sought out the crippled and the disease ridden. His ears falling off. Have mercy on me.
Yeah.
Lepers. I feel like I got a chance.
Come on.
I feel like I got a chance. Amen. This is who Jesus evangelized. Amen. He evangelized people that listen to me. He told them to go get that supper. He told them to go and get them. And he said, and go get them. He said that they can't bid you supper. In other words, he said, you evangelize people that cannot help you. There's a move in the land to get people that can help you. You don't need people that can help you. You need people that God can help and that God can change their lives. And when he changed their lives, he changed their families. He'll change. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and what forever. Jesus just didn't operate in the parameters of the temple and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know, that's what they say. They're just so sad, you see. No, Jesus just did not see. And you can, I'm a student. I'm a student. I never found anybody that Jesus sought out that were movers and shakers in the world. I said, well, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you know, that Nicodemus got him a tomb and begged for his body. And that's about it we hear about Nicodemus, unless you get some awful little book about Nicodemus. Well, we're going on. But the crippled and the diseased, the ridden, listen to me, and the demonic oppressed. Yeah. We call them mental illness today. We call them. Do you know some people can be bound by alcohol and it's no more than a demon? Some people are bound by drugs and it's no more than a demon. You know, people give up everything for one thing, but whenever they find Jesus and get off drugs, they'll give up one thing for everything. Amen. So, but they gotta want to. Is that not right, sister? Is that not right? Talk to somebody that knows about this, amen. Yeah. And they'll tell you it wasn't the program, it was Jesus the program, amen. Yeah. You know, he sought them out. Those that the whom were worthless to society. You know, those people of no one would trade lives for them. Jesus said, go out and those that can't bid you. You know who we are to evangelize? People that can never pay us back. There's something about this part of the country. If I go buy Brother Cody's lunch, he's going to try and buy my lunch. I guess, Brother Cody, I don't know. Will he ride to buy your lunch? I don't know. It's our Western thing. If he'll, Brother Parker, buys my lunch, that we're going to try and buy their lunch before it's out of their memory. Because we want to pay it back. Isn't that something? Somebody does something, so let me know where I can help you. Now you got some leech-alongs. I mean, some people. They always want you to buy it. They are, we going to. But you know that we were all lost and in pain, and there's no difference with us in the world that is lost except by our willingness to admit that it's by God's grace I'm not them and they're me. Amen. Amen. You know, I always thought about this. I thought about this. I said, how absurd would it be? How shocking would it be for people who mistreat people, who do people wrong, to make fun of the cripple, to make fun of somebody, that they wake up Monday being them. That'd be scary right there. I think it's not quite so funny, is it now? The limp's not so funny. The cliff is not so funny today. You know, that really what he wants is, now by the direction of Jesus, he said, do that which I commanded you. He tell me that I'm the example. What you see me do, he said, you do. You go out, he said, and go into the highways and the byways and the lanes. You know, that sounds like somewhere off the beaten path. That don't sound a place where everybody's going. That don't sound where Macy's is at. Heck, I don't even think they got a McDonald's down there. But he's looking for those he sent us to those that in need. Most churches want people that can only up their game. We need people to up our gain. Not our game, G-A-M-E. What we need to up gain is our gain, G-A-I-N. How many know that the Bible says for me to die out is Christ, to expand, to become greater. He gets you to do things you might not want to do. You know, that's whom we should be. You show me anybody. The only person that was high and lifted up was the thief. The only one who was above anybody else in the crowd was the thief. Yeah. And Jesus had time for him. Can somebody say amen? You know, he surrounded himself with ragtag sinners. He surrounded himself. They look at, if you knew what kind of woman she was, you wouldn't let her fool with your feet. He told him, he said, ever since I got here, you have not washed my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears since I've been here. And he's supposing her to be a sinner or a harlot. You know, that's like they tried to take Mary Magdalene and make her a harlot, and there's really no scripture basis for her being a harlot. It's just a ploy by the Catholic Church for her not to look as good or in the same light as Mary. I said, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Well, I wished I would have said it sooner. I guess y'all listening better than I'm teaching, or you're good at. You know what Jesus told priests and elders, told people that had it together? Jesus told them, he said, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. Right. Priests and elders, people got it together. People been around. People know stuff. Right. Yep. So you people that know stuff and think you got it together and think you got it. He said that harlots and publicans will go in. Don't you imagine when he slapped them with them publicans? He said, you're saying these people that's oppressing our government, that's oppressing us, that's causing us. You know, in the Bible, Jesus talked about when a man compelled thee to walk a mile, he wants you to walk too. It was a law of the Romans. They could cause you. They could ask you to pack something for a mile. It was illegal for them to call and ask you to pack it any further. Jesus said, well, pack it too. Yeah. Now, what would leave there more? You know, come on. You know that this, and I'm getting close, amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 12. Can Jesus use you? Who did he call? Who does he call? Who does he use? Who does he want to employ? 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 28. 1 Corinthians 1, 22, 28. And he Jesus, I'm reading out of Amplified. He said, look at your own calling. Believers, not many of you were considered to be wise according to human standards. Nor many of you be powerful or influential. Not many of high and noble birth. But God has selected for his purpose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, revealing their ignorance. And God has selected for his purpose. God has selected for his purpose the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Revealing their frailty. Amen. You know what he said? He said, you know what? Now he didn't say that he didn't get some people that had some human standards that they thought they had standards. He didn't say that there weren't some powerful. He didn't say that there weren't some influential. He said that there's not many high and noble birth. He said, not many of them. But who did he choose? Who did he choose? Harlots and thieves and murderers. I mean, y'all know the Apostle Paul was the tender for murder? Yeah. They came to the Saul and laid their clothes at his feet. When they laid their clothes at his feet, ready to stone Stephen, they got undressed so they wouldn't get blood on their clothes. And the Apostle Paul overseen them, a.k.a. Saul at the time, and he okayed it. He didn't stop it. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. All he could say is no. And it turned it off like a light switch. But he didn't. And how many of y'all know he became the greatest, come on, of the apostles, amen. You know, it's not normal. It's rare, but let me tell you what. He wants to use you. He wants us to go into the world. Jesus evangelized. And if our evangelist is trying to evangelize something other than this, we got the wrong evangelist. I said we got the wrong evangelist. And if we're trying to do something other than that, Jesus has got the wrong children. He said, do what I told you. He said, do how I do it. He said, go out and get the lame and the blind and the halted. You know what that is? That's special needs. Amen. Well, you know, Brother Jerry, we got to have a standard here. Jesus better be our standard. The Holy Spirit being led by him would be our standard. And, you know, I seen the couple, and they, you know what they did? They went back, got back on the alcohol and got back on the meth. They went over to the local big church that's got one of those things on the top of it. Yeah, I know what they are. One of them things on top of it. Got one of those phalluses on the top of it. Well, look it up anyway. He went down there and just tried to go to church. You know what they told him? He said, we really rather y'all go somewhere else. You know why? Because they were blind. They were naked. They were halted. You know what they did? They sent them somewhere else. They didn't have the influence, come on, to be influential around here. It doesn't take much to influence me. You can catch two fish. When I catch one, I say, good, I'm going to kick back and let you catch all 40 of them. And I'm going to hit you for half of them where we go. And if I can get Brother Jose to skin them out, clean them, cut the fish up, I'm going to let Brother Jose do that. Amen. Come on, sis. You know what we need to do? We need to be getting in the ministry, but we need to be evangelized. Not only evangelized, be here for our church, be part of and be under, come to and be in the place to hear the word of God. You don't need evangelists that's gone all the time and don't even know what's going on. You as evangelists don't need to be gone all the time and not know what's going on. Yeah. Need to be here. Need to be instructed. We need to grow thereby. Amen. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, that's the idea that we're a little dull. Would you stand with me this morning? I said it gives the idea that something's a little dull. And what we need to do is take his orders and take what he says. And what we need to do is seek the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Ask God to lead us and guide us. Give us your word, Lord. Give us to the people that you would have us to have. You know, in the midst of COVID, I'd ask my neighbors. I said, are you saved, born again? You know what I get? Answers like this. Well, I was baptized when I was a kid. Yeah. Well, mama took us to the Catholic church and catechism. We went some. Yeah, these are real answers. Went down there and said, well, you know, it's been a long time and I need to get back to it. Well, they hadn't got back to it. They hadn't been baptized again. And the scare is scared off of some of them now. Yeah. And what we need to do is go out there. There's people out there. Jesus said, go, yeah. He said, go. He didn't say, just sit where you are and wait for them. He said, go out. He said, into the highways, the byways, lanes. He said, go out there in your place. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I went to a man one time, one of the saddest stories I ever tell in the pulpit. I was a young man, had zeal for God. I don't see everybody get saved. It didn't matter who they were, what they'd done, or where they come from, what color they were, or anything. I wanted to see them get saved. And I went down there and talked to that man. And I began to talk to him about his soul. And he looked at me in the eye and told me, sir, I would have you know that my mother was quite a religious woman. He was putting eternity on that. He was putting... And he's dying of cancer. He's putting his next move into the next world. Yeah. Went and seen a man in the hospital one time. Went and seen him and tried to pray with him. And everybody else, you know, tried to see him. And I went to see him and I tried to tell him. I said, Brian, I said, you're going to meet the Lord. I said, you know, when we was kids, we didn't know much about it. We went to school, church together a little bit. I said, but, and whatever the story is. And he said, semi-conscious, you know. And I began to tell him about Jesus, and that monitor goes, doot, 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 doot. And the nurse come run me out and said, you're upsetting him. You're going to have to go. What am I telling you this stuff for? Some people are never going to make a decision. Some people are not going to be saved. I said, Brother Jerry, you pumped us up to let us down. No, I'm here to be real with you. Jesus said he had these 12, and he said, one of them's the son of perdition. He said, one of these cats going to betray me. And I guarantee you that Jesus never treated Judas any different than James or John or any of the others. Right. Well, it would be a giveaway. You ever notice how he don't let... Come on. Yeah. Never lets him close out. Yeah. Never lets him bless the food. You know, it's going to be a... I want to tell you today... that there's a world to go into, but it's the one Jesus sent you into. Yeah. They're not pretty, and some of them are, some might even smell. Yeah. But Jesus loves them and cares about them. They may not be what we want, but do we really want what he wants? Amen. And what he wants is different. Well, I found out it's different, amen. This morning I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, to repent. Get a hold of him. Turn from where you're going. Say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want my life to change. I want that, you know. And that we're not here to speak churchanese to you. We're trying to tell you that you're one breath away from hell if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That we all are without Christ. Not me, not you just only, but we all are in trouble without Jesus.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to give your life to him, surrender to him. It's not if you was baptized and you was a little kid. It wasn't if you'd been to catechism. It wasn't none of those things. It wasn't if you had a great mother. I appreciate you had a great godly mother. I do. Not everybody has one or had one. And if you got one, you ought to love on her and tell her you love her. But she won't always be here. I said you ought to love on her and tell her you love her. And if possible, crawl up in her lap and just love her. Because she won't always be here. And what we need is to care about people and love people like Jesus loved you. And be honest, it's no different than them than me. It's no different than a harlot. It's no difference than me with failed relationships. No difference than me than being blind and haughty. It's no different than me deserving a cross and having a merciful Jesus saying, this day shall thou be with me in paradise. That's the kind of stuff to get it done. Can you say amen? I mean, you want to get it done. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We ask, Father God, we expand the kingdom the way you would have us to. And Father God, we know it's not with wisdom and words, Lord, of men, but it's being led by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you take foolishness, Lord. Father God, even those who's perishing, that the cross, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. But Lord, to us that believe, it's eternal life. And we thank you for the cross, Father God. We thank you for sending your son there, and that he didn't come down, that he didn't shake it off and come to the ground, but he went all the way through and said that it was finished. There's nothing else that can be done. And Father, that the third day that they come down there and find him gone, Father God, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, Father God. And he give directions, Lord God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He give us directions to do it as he would have it done. We thank you this day, Father God, for the word. We thank you, Father God, for the evangelists in our midst. And we thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be evangelists, Lord God, in your very presence, Lord, where you send us. And Father, we go alone. We've just went just that alone. But if we go with you, Father God, that all things are possible. We thank you this day. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for this house, Lord. We thank you for the brethren. We thank you for the ministries. We thank you, Lord God, for things in this place that we sometimes fail to just thank you. And for the small things, Lord God, and the things we fail to see, we want to thank you for it, Father God, and for the small and the great and the grand, Lord God. And let us be the least of the kingdom, Lord God, that you might be exalted in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning, if you would. Amen.